Well, I don't have to ask you the question, who was that a tribute to? Because I think it's already evident, but go ahead and say the name. That's it. Okay, we're good. We're good. And that was, again, referring to his speech, I've been to the mountaintop. Where did that take place? Who knows? Yeah, today we're going to have Memphis, Tennessee. And when did this take place? You're going to get a little history today. April 3rd, 1968. And it was just one day before he was assassinated. So I'm going to read to you the excerpt from I've Been to the Top Mountaintop, and I'm not reading the whole thing, but just the part that was rather prophetic. So this was again in Memphis, Tennessee, just a day before he was assassinated. And he was giving the speech to a packed church of workers who were protesting working conditions. In the talk, he emphasized his main beliefs of unifying African Americans and the importance of nonviolent protests. What he says is, well, I don't know what will happen now. We've got some difficult days ahead, but it doesn't really matter to me now because I've been to the mountaintop. Like anybody, I would like to live a long life. Longevity has its place, but I'm not concerned about that now. And I have seen the promised land. I may not get there with you, but I want you to know tonight that we as a people will get to the promised land. He ended his speech with, I am happy tonight. I'm not worried about anything. I am not fearing any man. My eyes have seen the glory of the coming of the Lord. The most inspirational parts, or the whole thing is inspiring. He was a man of total inspiration. But he went to the mountaintop. He didn't go to the mountain. I mean, who doesn't have a mountain in your life, right? A mountain is a challenge. But he didn't just look at a mountain and go, and he does say, we've got some difficult days ahead. We've got to climb this mountain. But he goes to the top of the mountain. And what happens when he's up there? He has a view. He sees the promised land. He sees the promised land. And what is the promised land? For Martin Luther King, the promised land is the vision, is the dream that was the God-given, I have a dream. That was God-given. And he took that dream, and he knew, because he could see, that it will come to be. Maybe not in his lifetime, but he had two things, two of the powers, well, he had more than that, but the two powers that Unity professes, he had imagination. He could see something that wasn't apparent, wasn't an appearance, and he had faith. And he saw something that was beyond what was really going to be in the moment, perhaps, but he could see from that mountaintop. So I'm going to give you a little bit more background on Martin Luther King. When was he born? I knew you'd all have the answers, I know. He was born today, January 15th, the year was 1929. If he was still alive, and he is on the other level, but if he was still in physical body, he'd be 94 years today. So happy 94th birthday, Martin Luther King Jr. And thank you, Martin Luther King Jr., for taking the vision that God gave you and making it be such a reality to so many, and that there was going to be more to be done. Did you know that he wasn't born with the name Martin Luther King? His name was actually Michael. And his dad, Michael Luther King, was so inspired by Luther King, Martin Luther, that he changed his name as the senior and his son when Martin Luther King Jr. was only 5 years old. He graduated high school when he was 15. He went on to Morehouse College, got his BA degree. He had 3 years of theological studies, received a doctorate degree in 1955. He was a pastor in Montgomery, Alabama in 54. His first major speech, public speech, was in December 5th, 1955, when Rosa Parks, the bus boycott speech. He married Coretta Scott, who we met in Boston, and they had two boys and two girls. For 11 years, from 1957 to 1968, he gave talks at over 2,500 locations and places wherever there was protest, injustice, and a call for action, nonviolent action. He also was a writer. It was in 1963 that he led the march on Washington, D.C., and 250,000 people showed up. They expected 100,000. That is where he delivered his I Have a Dream speech, which I will be sharing parts of today. And in that same year, he was named Man of the Year by Time Magazine. The following year, in 1964, he was awarded the Nobel Peace Prize at age 35, the youngest person ever to have received. And when he was notified that he would have prize money of $54,123, he announced that he was going to give that amount of money to the civil rights movement. And again, it was on April 4th, 1968, he was assassinated with a gunshot as he was on a balcony of the hotel in Memphis, Tennessee. He was 39 years old. But he did his work on this side of the plane. You better believe that spirit is still active. You know it. So there's a history lesson. Anything you learned or heard just now that you might not have known before? Well, here's the thing. You can learn anything from God, the all-knowing one, aka Google. Just saying. So, you know, all-knowing Google. And one of the things, I'm going to share one more piece that I found Googling with God, was the 8 powerful speeches from Martin Luther King Jr. that aren't I Have a Dream. He did so many speeches. There's so much inspiration. This one he gave at Dartmouth College in 1962, and it's entitled Proud to be Maladjusted. In the talk, he first explains the sociological term maladjusted as someone who cannot accept social norms in society. But King turns the entire term on its head and saying he is happy to be maladjusted, if it means adapting to racism and a society built against him and his people. He says, "But I say to you, my friends, as I move into conclusion, there are certain things in our nation and in our world which I am proud to be maladjusted and which I hope all men and women of goodwill will be maladjusted until the good is realized." He says, "And I say very honestly, I never intend to become adjusted to segregation and discrimination." So is anybody here maladjusted? Okay, so you are maladjusted formally as of now, and I celebrate your maladjustedness, because we need to be maladjusted in a society where we stand up to the social norms that are filled with discrimination. So I'm just going to share one other thing. If you want to know, Unity Worldwide Ministries on Facebook tomorrow is having a celebration with an inspirational panel discussion about the continued impact of Martin Luther King's Jr.'s speech, I Have a Dream. You can Google back to, you can put Unity Facebook, and it will take you to that page. If you're on a Facebook already, you can just go to Unity Facebook, and there's a link. Or you can go to Unity Santa Fe, because I posted it on our Facebook page. It is tomorrow. It is at 3 p.m. Central Time, so that means it's 2 p.m. our time. And the gal that's overseeing it, Reverend Jackie, she actually knew Martin Luther King and had spent some time with him. So my question is, do you have a dream? Do you have a dream that is from the mountaintop? I think many of us forget how to dream. And the way we dream, according to Charles Fillmore, is through the faculty. See, we have five faculties of humanness. We can see, hear, smell, taste, and touch. Those are our five senses. But we have six mental faculties that we're using all the time, but we don't even know that we're using them. And Mary Morrissey teaches these, and one of them is the imagination, which is one of the 12 powers that Charles Fillmore speaks about in his reference to the 12 apostles, and each of them have a quality. So imagination is where we begin everything. And I love that Martin Luther King Day is in January, because this is where we start to build our year. And if you don't have a dream, where are you going with your life? The thing is we dream as kids. We have imaginations. I'm going to be a firefighter. I'm going to be a teacher. I'm going to be a ballerina. I'm going to be a bus driver. I'm going to be a famous artist. I'm going to be the president of the United States. You dream and you imagine and you play. And then we grow up. How sad. We can't get your head out of the clouds. Anybody hear that? That's not reality. So we stop dreaming. What a shame. I am here to inspire and ignite you to start dreaming again and to use the faculty of your divine imagination. Imagination, one of the books that I spoke of last year, and I'm speaking of again, which talks about the 12 powers, is Divine Audacity by Reverend Linda Martello-Witsett. And when she speaks about imagination, the definition of imagination, according to James Dillett Freeman in his book, Imagination is the power or act of forming a mental picture of something not present to our senses or never before wholly perceived in reality. It's pretend. That's where we're going, the land of pretend. A power that frees us from the limitation of our senses. I spoke of the five senses, but we need to go beyond the five senses. Everything that is created starts in here. So we have to start dreaming. You know, the greatest nation there is the imagination. Okay? Let's all travel to the imagination, and you don't need a fare to get there. You don't need a reservation. All you need to do is say, what is that life that Spirit imagines for me and for our world? Go to the mountaintop. Go beyond your senses. Go to the impossible. Because with God, all things are possible. Share with you a little example of imagination. At the end of an art period, the very young assistant to the nursery school teacher was checking the drawings of the four-year-olds. Pausing before a blank sheet of paper, she inquired unwisely of the owner, "What's that?" at the blank sheet of paper. He says, "It's a boat." She says, "But I don't see any boat." He says, "It just sank." The power of the imagination. Albert Einstein says, imagination is more important than knowledge. Okay, the most brilliant being, one of the most brilliant beings, imagination is more important than what you know. Take that and go, wow, do I really engage in that? Or what is it that I know? What is it that you imagine? What can you imagine? What can you get outside of the box of what you've known? Because the known is limiting. It's the unknown where we go to the limitless, unlimited possibilities. He says, knowledge is limited. Imagination encircles the world. So I'm calling you forth to engage in your imagination. Linda Martillowitz set breaks imagination into three components. The first one is conception. Conceive is to call forth, to bring forth something new. Actually, the word conceive means in the womb. See, what there is in metaphysical world, there is this whole sea of pure potentiality. It's in the invisible realm that surrounds us and is in us. It's the sea of pure potentiality, according to Deepak Chopra. And there are ideas. We wonder where would your ideas come from. They're swimming by. And sometimes they come in and you go, keep going, right? That's not an idea I want to stick to. But we can take a new idea. When we're in the silence and we go to that place of the mountaintop, what's up there? What is spirit? Charles Fillmore called it going to headquarters. He would go and sit in his rocking chair and rock in the silence. And he would wait. And something divine would plop in. We need to take that silent time. Make time for the silent time. Catch the ideas. Catch spirit's vision for your life. There is the conceiving is to take an idea. You take an idea. You get an idea, right? You have an idea. What's that idea? Now, you can do something with that idea, or you can put that idea right there, and it's going to not grow too much, because you can set a packet of seeds on a table. It's not going to grow. So the first part of imagination is to conceive, bring forth an idea. Then you want to plant it. The planting is the second term that she uses, called visioning. You want to vision. You want to see it. We have this saying in our world is that I'll believe it when I see it, right? I'll believe it when I see it. We're very, you know, distrusting. But the truth is, I'll what? I'll see it when I believe it. And I want to add to that, but first, you all have heard of visualization, where you see something. Well, I like to add the word feelization. It's not just what you see. Seeing is only the first part. The second part is to feel as if it was so, because that is the heart, that's where the vibration happens. Visioning is bringing together the head and the heart. You want to plant the seed, you got to feel it. Question for you, Martin Luther King Jr., did he have feeling in his talks? He was pure passion. Did he have fears, doubts, and worries? Well, if he did, he certainly didn't share them with us. He went past the appearances. He was infused with feeling. That's why he inspired so many people. That's why he has a holiday, because he wasn't just sharing what he could see. He was feeling it. And he conveyed what he was feeling to such a degree that people caught it. They were inspired. So, are you ready to move into the land of inspiration and create your vision, visualization, and have a dream? I'm going to share with you now a portion of Martin Luther King's I Have a Dream speech. You might close your eyes or you can keep them open. And so even though we face the difficulties of today and tomorrow, I still have a dream. It is a deep dream, deeply rooted in the American dream. I have a dream that one day this nation will rise up and live out the true meaning of its creed. We hold these truths to be self-evident, that all men and women are created equal. I have a dream that one day on the red hills of Georgia, the sons of former slaves and the sons of former slave owners will be able to sit down together at the table of brotherhood. I have a dream that one day, even the state of Mississippi, a state sweltering with the heat of injustice, sweltering with the heat of oppression, will be transformed into an oasis of freedom and justice. I have a dream that my four little children will one day live in a nation where they will not be judged by the color of their skin, but by the content of their character. I have a dream today. I have a dream that one day down in Alabama, with its vicious racists, with its governor having his lips dripping with the words of interposition and nullification, one day, right there in Alabama, little black boys and black girls will be able to join hands with little white boys and white girls as sisters and brothers. I'm going to add that I see adults doing that, because I think the kids are already holding hands. It's the adults that need to wake up, my ad. I have a dream today. I have a dream that one day every valley shall be exalted and every hill and mountain shall be made low. The rough places will be made plain and the crooked places will be made straight again. And the glory of the Lord shall be revealed, and all flesh shall see it together. Martin Luther King had a dream. What's yours? I'm going to share with you my dream. I have a dream that Unity Santa Fe becomes a lighthouse, a place where the disillusioned, the disenfranchised, the downhearted, all people can come and do come to be seen, to be heard, and to be loved. I have a dream that the Unity core teachings become embodied in each and every person who comes to Unity, and that we carry those truths and live by them in a way that changes ourselves and our world. I have a dream that we see everybody and everything as the divine, because it's who we are. I have a dream that adults with children have found us and are bringing their children here to learn and to live the Unity principles while they are young, and that they learn the tools of meditation, affirmation, and truth and love teachings. I have a dream that Unity Santa Fe is a vibrant, healing teaching center for all beings, that we are a lighthouse and people are coming. I have a dream that everyone who attends Unity Santa Fe finds ways to serve as each person discovers more deeply the joys of sacred service using their own unique gifts and passions. I have a dream that Unity Santa Fe has the best, the very best, and it pretty much does now, the most lifting, inspirational music team ever, with a choir and a choir director, so that we can share our voices in song and do in different ways. We know that our guest musicians continue to inspire and enhance our Unity spiritual teachings and messages. I have a dream that through our ever-increasing donations that we now have a highly prolific tech equipment which has actually been purchased. I wrote this last year, by the way. So this is already coming true, that we are putting that equipment in so that we can serve an ever-increasing number of people through our virtual offerings, not just here in Santa Fe, but around the world. I have a dream. That dream is you. The dream is a community that cares, and I don't know of a more caring community, active community, willing to serve, willing to step out of the box of comfort, to stretch, to learn the teachings, to read the Unity principles, to practice them, to do things that are uncomfortable. I have a dream, and you are that dream. And that's not just my dream, it is the dream that Spirit has given me. I'm at the mountaintop, and I am seeing past appearances. Jesus taught, judge not by appearances, but see beyond it. Get up on the mountaintop. I encourage you, and I implore you to write your own dream this week. A dream for yourself. A dream for humanity. Write it down. That is what I encourage you all to do. And then what's really cool is you have an invitation to perhaps share it with another. Because then you get to be heard and have that person affirm, yes. Make sure you share it with somebody who would be the person to share it with. You don't want somebody going, that's crazy. It is crazy. We're here to be crazy and maladjusted. And we're engaging and using our imagination to visualize, to feelize, to have a dream, and to engage in the faculty of our imagination. We can create a new world, but we have to do the work. And that is to start here with your imagination this week. I have a dream. Do you? So it is. Namaste. And you can always call me and share your dream. Thank you.